appreciate the Benton Church and the support they've given to Fried Hardeman and Christian Education over the years, and appreciate Brother Morgan very much. He helped steer us through some difficult times about 10 years ago at Fried Hardeman, and had it not been for him, we'd be a lot worse off. He's done a lot of good for Fried Hardeman, and he supported us for many years. In fact, we have a softball complex named after he and his wife there at Fried Hardeman, and we love and appreciate Brother Morgan very much. I was going to show you some pictures of the students that we have from here, but I couldn't get them all together last week. I was going to start off my slide presentation by showing you the students at Fried Hardeman that go to church here, but you know who those students are, and you know how I'm sure that they're enjoying their experience at Fried Hardeman. I appreciate the lesson that Mark shared with us this morning. I told Mark if all I got to do this morning was hear that lesson, it was worth the drive, because he did an excellent job on that. Challenged us very much. And I think what I'm going to talk about has a lot that will go along with a lot of that, because it talks about, we're going to talk about how we so easily get distracted in our lives. I heard a preacher one time tell a story about a preacher that was having a little trouble visiting one of the elderly members of the congregation. In fact, he had gone to visit several times, and he never was able to catch her at home. And so when he'd see her at church, she'd always say something to him about not taking the time to come and visit. And so one day, he thought that he would go visit her right after church. He knew she'd be home, so he went to her house, got to her house, the lights were on, the door was open. He knocked on the door, and he knocked, and he knocked, and he knocked. And nobody came to the door. And so he took out a business card, and he thought, I'll just write a little Bible verse. And this way she'll know that I was there. And he said, she'll get my message too. And on the back of that business card, he wrote Revelation 3:20. The lady got her Bible out when she saw the card, and she read it. It says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him, and he will sup, and I will sup with him, and he with me. And so she was kind of amused by that and thought that was kind of funny. And so she went to church that evening, and she took that same business card that he had left for her, and she wrote on the back of it, Genesis chapter 2, verse 10. And she left it on his card. Now Genesis 2:20 says, or 3:10, let me see here. Let me get to the right verse. Genesis 3:10 says, and he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. She got her point across. He got his across to her, and then she got back at him. So what I hope this morning is that as we talk about something that's important to us, that you understand exactly what I'm saying. In our country today, in higher education, there's been a lot of time and a lot of effort and a lot of money spent on retaining young people. Now, when I use the word retaining or retention, what I'm talking about at a school, a college, those universities spend a lot of time and a lot of money to try to make sure that student stays in school for 4, 5, maybe 6 years, and they graduate. And we're trying to find out what hinders students from completing their education and why they drop out. You know, and when I think in the church today, we definitely think about our young people that way, don't we? In Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6, Solomon said, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. We look at that verse, and we see things that jump out to us. First of all, we look at that verse, it says we got to train them. It's not enough to let somebody else take care of our children. It's not enough to let them watch TV all the time. We can't do that. We've got to take time and spend with our children, and we've got to train them in the way that they should go. And this principle in the Bible says when that child is old, he will not depart from it. Now, I think all of us know people have been brought up the right way. And I want to tell you that between the ages of 18 to 22 is such an important age for young people because there are a lot of things that happen in their lives during those years. There's a quote here I'd like to share with you this morning, and this is from the University of North Carolina publication. This is not something that I came up with, that I printed or anything, but this is something that was printed by the University of North Carolina in 2007. The author of the publication says, the young adult years of many Americans are marked by clear decline in outward religious expression. which is popularly thought to hit bottom during and perhaps because of the college experience. In the early 1980s, he says, there were nearly 60% of young adults reported attending church less frequently than they did during their adolescence. And estimates today of religious disaffiliation in emerging adulthood typically falls between 30 and 40% today. You see, what happens is between those ages of 18 to 22, those young people are facing some of the most important decisions in their life. And they're having some of the toughest times of their life. You think about it, between the ages of 18 to 22, some of the decisions that a young person makes. A young person decides what they're going to do for the rest of their life, the kind of job they're going to do, what kind of major they pursue in college. They decide who they're going to marry. And many times they take these decisions that affect them the rest of their life, and they don't let God help them because they become less religious, according to research. And so it's important for us as we think about that to think about the effect that it has on the church today. Back in the 1990s, Lewis Dodd and Tippins did research on young people in the churches of Christ. In fact, what we find is that Lewis Dodd and Tippins reported in a survey that 55% of young people in the churches of Christ were leaving the church in the 1990s. 55%. That's 5 out of every 10. I would say 5.5, but I've never seen half a person. That's about 5 out of every 10 were leaving the church. You know, the sad thing is, many of those people never came back to the church. In fact, Flavel Yakely did some research and studied this phenomena, and he found that out of the 55% that were falling away, what he found was that about 22% of them were returning to the church. And so that leaves about 33% of our young people that are falling away in the 1990s, never to come back. Flavel Yakely did a study in 2008, and in his study, what he found was that 40.3% of young people in churches of Christ were leaving in the 2000s. Now, that gives us some hope there, doesn't it? That's 15% increase. You know, that means 60% instead of 45% were remaining faithful. And so when we look at that, we see some statistics that kind of scare us. But I want to tell you something. Even if only 1% of young people were falling away, that'd be too many. Because we want them all to remain faithful to the Lord's church. You see, today, in the world that we live in the kind of society that we live in, we need people that are grounded in the truth, that are willing to stand up for the truth, and that are able to teach the truth. Because the world needs the gospel today. I want to share with you this morning some things that I think can help us reach out to those young people. But first, in Lamentations chapter 1, in verse 12, Jeremiah, who had written about the fall of Jerusalem, who had prayed about Jerusalem, but who now was seeing the destruction in Jerusalem, writes to the people, and listen to the poem, listen to the verse he says there, "Is it nothing to you all that pass by?" You see, these people were passing by the ruins in Jerusalem. They were seeing the destruction that was taking place, and it wasn't fazing them at all. It wasn't something that was bothering them. But it broke his heart because he had given his life to preaching God's word, and he'd given his life to trying to help people to get their lives right with God. And he was amazed that it was nothing to them. And I want to ask us this morning a question. Is it nothing to us that 40.3% of our young people are falling away? That 4 out of every 10 lose their faith in God? I believe that it is. And I thought that it's important to you to try to help these young people do what they need to do to serve God. And I want to ask you, what can we do? What can we do as a church and as brothers and sisters in Christ to help these young people? Well, this has got to be something that's important to us. The first thing that I think that we can do this morning that I want to point out is that we can remember them. Many times when students are between the ages of 18 to 22, they go off to school, we kind of forget about them, and we lose touch with them, and they're kind of out there on their own. And I think that's part of the problem, part of the reason that many times they lose their way. because they don't have anybody holding them accountable. When we're growing up, we have our parents, we have our church family, and we have people all around us to help hold us accountable. When a student goes off away from college, a lot of times they're out of sight, they're out of mind. I want to challenge you as a church to remember your young people, to remember them, to pray for them. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17 says, pray without ceasing. Write down your young people, their names, the ones that are in college, the ones that are in high school, and pray for them. The devil's looking for them, and I guarantee you he's trying to find them. So spend time in prayer for them and remember them. James 5:16 says, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. You know, when you tell a young person that you're praying for them, I guarantee you they're going to remember that. And they're going to appreciate that. And when they have to make a decision that's tough, trying to decide what's right or what they want to do, they know you're praying for them, that's going to help them make the right decision. Let them know that you care about what's going on with them. But what happens many times is when that young person goes off to college, we just kind of lose touch with them. We talk to them when they're home on Sundays. Or when they're home during the week, we'll talk to them. And we kind of forget about them. You know, those ages of 18 to 22, that's when they need you the most. Not the least, that's when they need you the most. Because they're making decisions that are going to impact the rest of their life. And I want to encourage you to spend time remembering them, thinking about them. You know, it's so easy to contact people today with email. You know, it doesn't take time to sit down. You don't have to sit down and write a card out, get an envelope, put an address on it, put a stamp on it anymore. You can write something down on an email, and in about 5 seconds, they can have that email. And it's not hard to do. Most all of you know how to do that. But the young people that you know that are in college or in high school, email them. Let them know that you're thinking about them and that they're important to the Benton Church of Christ and they're important to you. Let them know that you're thinking about them. When they come home, ask them questions. Ask them how their spiritual life is. Ask them where they're going to church. Make sure that they're making God a priority in their lives. Because you see, when between the ages of 18 to 22, the devil's going to throw a lot of things at them that are going to be able to try to interfere with their spiritual life. You're going to tell them that they need to focus all on their academics, not to worry about their spiritual life. They can do that later. And that's what happens. They kind of fall away and they fade away. And I want to encourage you as a church family, your young people, stay in touch with them. Remember them. We have a board member that's from Columbia, Tennessee, Brother Morgan John Law, said this in our meeting the other day. You know, we were talking about young people, and he was saying that the 7th Street, West 7th Church in Columbia, their elders are going to stay in touch with their college students because they're still members of the church at West 7th. And so they're going to continue to shepherd them. Because a lot of times, young people are out there with no shepherds. And I want to encourage you as a church, remember those young people and pray for them and stay in contact with them. The second thing that I would encourage you to do is to teach them. To teach them. This goes to parents a lot. And we think about parents a lot, but really we all have this responsibility when it comes to young people. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 6 through 9, it says, "And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates." When I look at these things here, and I see exactly what the writer is saying, he's telling us that God's word needs to be real to us, and they need to know that it's real to us. As a parent, it's important that I understand that what my daughter and son see in me, that's what's going to be important to them. The things that are important to you are important to them. My son is 6'2", and he's 15. He's a freshman in high school, so he's a big boy. And he does play basketball, and we love basketball. And I have worked with him at basketball since he was about 3 days old, because basketball has always been my favorite sport to play. And I have taught him everything I know about basketball and about baseball. I've taught him to love Alabama football. And I've done all these things that are important to me, I've taught him. But I have to stop and have to ask myself, have I taught him to love God like I should? Oh, every Saturday during the fall, he's rooting for Alabama football. And every week after school, he's playing basketball, because those are important to me. But how important is God to him and to my daughter? You see, because what's important to me is what's important to them. And it's important that we make time to talk to them about spiritual matters and about things that are important, because that's what's important in their life. And if they have the right foundation, they're going to be able to do a lot more good. When I was growing up in Florence, Alabama, we would go pick up my great-grandmother every Sunday morning and take her to church with us. She was in her 80s, and I love my Granny Riley, and I remember her to this day. Every Sunday morning when we'd go pick her up, she'd be doing the same thing. In fact, any time we'd visit her during the week, she'd be doing the same thing. She'd be sitting in her rocking chair in her living room reading her Bible. And I remember when I was young, I thought, why does she always read the Bible? I bet she's already read through it 4 or 5 times by now. And she probably had read through it a lot more than that. But now that I'm older, I understand what she was doing. She was trying to love God with all her heart, with all her soul, with all her strength. And she was trying to teach me to do that too. When she died, I was lucky enough to get her Bible. And now I get to read that Bible every day, because she made that kind of impact on me. And she taught me that I needed to love God with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. And we need to teach our children. We need to talk with them when we're sitting in the house. We need to talk with them when we're walking by the way, when we lie down, and when we get up. Because God's Word is what they need to know. We need to not only to remember our young people, but we need to teach them. And remember, like I said, the things that are important to you, they're going to learn. Make God's Word important to you. We're all busy. We all have a lot going on. Make time to study God's Word. And let the young people see you studying God's Word. I've talked to young people at Henderson, their class, a lot. And I found over the years, you know, especially more today than 15 years ago, they make excuses for not having time to study the Bible. But then I asked those guys, how many of you played Xbox this week? Everyone, those hands go up. The guys have Xbox. They don't have Xbox. I say PlayStation. Those PlayStation hands go up. I ask the girls, did you get on Pinterest this week or Facebook or anything? And they all raise their hands. You see, what's important to us, we find time to do. Let our young people see us studying God's Word. Another thing that we can do to help our young people remain faithful is that we can surround them with the right kind of people. I think we understand that. Most of us are adults, and we know that we're going to be like the people that we associate with. I've got a niece in Alabama who's been in a lot of trouble because she associates with the wrong kind of people. And what my sister finds is every time she gets out of one trouble situation, she gets into another one. You know why? Because she continues to hang around the same people. And she doesn't surround herself with people they're going to encourage her to be good. You see, what we've got to do for our young people, we've got to teach them what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15:33. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Paul said, don't fool yourself. Don't make a mistake here. Don't misunderstand. If you associate with the wrong kind of people, you're going to be influenced. I think we've all seen situations where a young lady or a young man thought that they were going to try to help somebody come to the Lord. Sometimes it works, but a lot of times that person falls away from the Lord. when they end up marrying that person. We've got to understand that our young people are going to have to surround themselves with the right kind of people. In Exodus chapter 23, verse 2, it says, "Do not follow a multitude to do evil." You see, it's a whole lot easier to do something evil when there's a lot of people around you trying to encourage you to do that than it is when you're around people who are going to encourage you to do what's right. Let's encourage our young people to associate with the right kind of people. And let me tell you this. If they associate with the wrong kind of people and they get in trouble and they go back to those people, the same type of thing is going to keep happening. They're going to have to put themselves in a situation where they can be successful and where they can do what's right. Sometimes it involves getting a whole new set of friends. And I've seen that happen many times, and I know you have too, and that's hard for young people to understand. But let's help our young people to surround themselves with the right kind of people. The next thing I want to say that we can do to help our young people be faithful is that we can encourage them to be active in the church today. Today. I appreciate the announcement that tonight you're going to have the young men doing the services. That's a great opportunity for them. A lot of times we look at them as the church of tomorrow, and they are, but they're part of the church today. They're an important part of the church today, and we need to teach them to lead and give them opportunities to lead. Solomon said, "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them." He says, remember thy Creator in the days of thy youth. While you're young, you need to be serving God, and we need to be giving our young people opportunities to serve God now. Give them opportunities to lead. Teach them to lead. Show them how to lead, and then let them lead. Too many times we want to teach them, we want to show them how to do it, but we don't want to let them lead. But there comes a point where we're going to have to get out of the way. We're going to have to give them the opportunity to do that, and we're going to have to let them lead. We need to encourage them to be active in the Lord's work. But let me tell you, if we're not active in the Lord's work, if we're not active in doing God's work, they're not going to be either. So it's important for us to be active in the Lord's work and for them to be active in the Lord's work. I was fortunate when I was growing up to have a preacher who spent a lot of time with young people. You see, what happened was our preacher had a son the same age as me. And that's always good when the preacher has a son, you know, the same age as your child. Because he gave us opportunities through the elders starting in the 7th grade through 12th grade to lead in church. We were preaching when we were in 7th grade doing the Wednesday night invitation. We had a class every Saturday called Learning to Serve. And he spent time with us. And many of you probably know Brother David Sain, but he spent a lot of time with us. And he taught us how to lead. And that helped us as we got older, and it helped us to be active in the Lord's church. Then the next thing I'd like to say is that we need to help them to develop their own faith. Many times, these young people have their parents' faith. It's not always their faith. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, the Hebrew writer says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." You see, what the Hebrew writer is saying is, you know, that faith is what we hope for. And it's the evidence of things not seen, and it's what we have to have to please God. Because in verse 6, he says, "But without faith it is impossible to please God. For he that believeth in him must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him." We need to teach young people to have that kind of faith in God. That's part of the problem, I think, today, why we have a problem with their attention, because they don't, a lot of times, have their own faith. But we need to talk about spiritual matters with our young people. We need to get them involved. We need to make them understand how important they are to the church. We want to retain them. We want them to make a difference in the Lord's church. These are some things that we can do. Let's remember them. Let's pray for them. Let's teach them. Let's surround them with the right kind of people. Let's encourage them to be active in the church. And let's help them to develop their own faith. But there's one other thing that I'd like to add that we can do to help our young people. And that is that we can encourage them to pursue Christian education. In Luke chapter 2, verse 52, Jesus talks about Jesus there, and it says, Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. And that's what we seek to help the young people do at Fried Hardeman University in Christian education. We want them to grow exactly like Jesus did. I want to share some statistics with you dealing with Christian education and show some things about retention. We talk about retention rate. We talk about the number of students or the percentage of students that we retain in the Lord's church. For those that did not attend college, all this came from a study from Flavel Yakeley in 2008. In fact, he's written a book. I've got it on the front row there. It's called Why They Left. And it talks about why young people leave the church. And in that book, he goes through and talks about several of those things. But in the retention statistics that he gave in the book, he said of those that did not attend college, 43.4% of those young people remain faithful to God, to the church. 43 out of 100. That means 57% of those young people we lose. For those that went to a public university or did not attend a Christian school, 49.7%, nearly 50% of those people are retained. That means that we're losing 50%. It goes on to share for the Christian school number, those that attended Christian school, 85% of those young people remain faithful to God. 85 out of 100. But let me share a statistic with you that kind of is startling and just really amazing. From those that attended Fried Hardeman in that survey, 95% of those young people were still faithful to God. You see, what Fried Hardeman did was we helped bring that Christian school number up because 95%, 95 out of 100, were still faithful to God. That's amazing. That's a lot of young people. And we're working hard to try to help that number to grow to 100% because that's what's important to us. As we think about the retention rate, he also went on and shared some information about the alumni, the graduates, being involved in leadership and in service at churches. If they didn't attend college, he found that 7%, 7 out of every 100 were involved in church leadership and service. 7%. If they went to a public university, he found that 21.4% were involved in leadership and in service. At a Christian college, 56%. Let me show you another number. Fried Hardeman graduates, 65%. 65 out of 100 were involved in leadership and service. It means that they were preaching, they were teaching, they were serving the Lord's Supper, they were leading singing, they were doing a lot of things. You see, our young people at Fried Hardeman, they leave to serve. That's what we teach them to do. We want them to be dedicated to God and to His Word. We want them to make a difference, and we try to teach them to lead because that's what God wants us to do, and that's what He's called us to do. Marital status. In our country today, the national divorce is close to 50%. Just about one out of every two marriages ends in divorce today, and that's sad. That's sad to think about the national divorce rate. Well, the divorce rate for Christian college alumni is about 5.4%. You see, a lot of times what happens at the Christian schools is that Christians marry Christians and have a lot higher chance for that relationship to work out and for them to continue to be married when Christians marry Christians. Dr. Milton Sewell, who was a president for years, 13 years, when he was president, he'd always say, first day of chapel, Mark, you probably remember this, look to your right. He'll say you may be sitting by your future husband or wife. You know, I always had his side of it. We always try anyway. And then if that was right, we'd have it made. But Dr. Sewell encouraged young people to date and to get married. And I think you can see why, because when Christians marry Christians, good things happen. And the divorce rate was 5.4% for Christian college alumni. And when they marry Christians, that's a good thing. I want to give you just a summary of what Flavel Yakeley said in his study. He said that Christian college, ones who receive a Christian education are more likely to remain faithful to the church. Saw the statistics, how that are making a difference. He concluded that Christian college alumni are in service roles, and that's what we want. We want those young people to leave and to go out and to make a difference. Found that Christian college alumni are less likely to get divorced. What do you expect from a Christian college? These are things that, you know, when you're teaching from God's Word, and that's an important part of it. But I want to ask the question, why? Well, I think that the way they are, because Christian college students are more active in church activities. They're expected to lead while they're on campus, through daily chapel sessions, through devotionals on campus, through campaigns, through opportunities to serve in the community. They're active doing the Lord's work while they're in school. Our motto is teaching how to live and how to make a living, and we'll come back to that in just a minute. But we really take that seriously on teaching them how to live. This past spring break in March, I asked for the statistics for students that went on campaigns. We had over 350 students go to places throughout the world to spread the gospel. Now, if they'll go on a campaign and share the message of God, when they graduate, they're going to be faithful and they're going to lead wherever they are, because they're given opportunities to be active immediately. These young people are also taught to lead by Christians. Christians teach them how to lead. And they also are surrounded by Christians, and they date Christians. Nearly 85% of our students at Freed Hardeman are members of the Church of Christ. That's the highest percentage of any of the schools associated with Churches of Christ. Nearly 85%. What that means is they're going to be around people who are like them and who want to do what's right. My daughter's a freshman this fall at Freed Hardeman, and she's been waiting her whole life. I know I'm getting old, Mark. She's been waiting her whole life to get there. And I want to tell you, I've never seen her as happy as I have right now. She'll call me every night. I'm trying to get her to quit calling at 11:59. You know, she stays up to 2 o'clock. I don't. But at 11:59, just about every night, that phone will ring, and she'll recap what she did that day. And what she's found in the high school she went to there in Chester County, a lot of good people live in Chester County. But those high school kids still want to go out and drink, and they want to mess around and do things they ought not to do. She didn't feel like she belonged. But now she's in a student body where 85% of the students are members of the Church of Christ, and she belongs. She's found a place where she wants to do what's right. She's in the majority. She's not in the minority. You see, in the world, it's hard enough out there. These young people need people to support them and people to help them, and they can have that at Freed Hardeman. At Freed Hardeman University, 100% of our faculty members are members of the Church of Christ. Students are given the opportunities to lead while they're enrolled in college. Over 83%, 85% of our students are members of the Church of Christ. Motto is teaching how to live and how to make a living. I want to tell you that we're committed to honoring our heritage and to remaining faithful to God's Word. That's what we're going to do. We're going to continue to teach young people how to live and how to make a living. We're not going to swerve to the left. We're not going to swerve to the right. We're going to do it the way God wants us to do it. We're going to try to remain centered on God's Word and teach these young people how to live. Now, I hope this didn't scare you this morning, some of the statistics that I've thrown at you, but I want to tell you something. If it's not important to us, it's important for the young people. In Luke chapter 22, verses 31 and 32, Jesus talks to Peter. You remember what he said there? And the Lord said, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." That's one of the scariest verses in the Bible to me. Because what Jesus is telling Peter is that the devil wanted him. And I want to tell you something. The devil wants our young people today, too. He does. And between those ages, 18 to 22, if we don't pay attention to them, the devil will. And he's going to go after them. That's why it's important for us to make sure that we pay attention and that we do what's right and that we help them do what's right. And we need to provide them with all the tools we can to help them to remain faithful to God. Freed Hardeman is committed to doing that. Again, I want to thank you for your support of Freed Hardeman and ask that you continue to send your young people our way. I promise you that we'll keep teaching them how to live and how to make a living. Thank you very much.